I mean, this is legal money laundering.
Episode 2 is focusing on superannuation and why Richard Dennis seems to be pretty worked up about it. G'day, I'm Francis Keeney, and welcome to Follow the Money, brought to you by the Australia Institute.
One for mum, one for dad, one for the country.
And there has never been a more exciting time to be in Australia.
Dead, buried, cremated.
Australia's basically done for. We'll just end up being a third-rate economy.
If you're in business, an industry super fund like Hester can help you as well as your
Remember
employees.
This? The dulcet tones of former Reserve Bank Governor Bernie Fraser telling us all about superannuation.
It's a super of the future.
Now, last episode we were talking about how big the mining industry is worth. Superannuation is on a whole different level altogether.
Superannuation is very, very big in Australia.
That's Richard Dennis. He's now the chief economist for the Australia Institute.
Matt Grudenoff, senior economist of the Australia Institute.
Does Chief Trump senior? I want to be senior chief.
The high king economist.
At the moment, there's about $1.9 trillion of Australian money tied up in superannuation. That's enough to essentially buy Apple, Google, Microsoft, and Greece. Or in something a bit more tangible, it's enough to give each man, woman, and child on Earth about $260. But instead, it's used to help save for our retirement.
All Australians who work are forced to spend 9.5% of their income buying what's politely known as compulsory superannuation. We've been doing this for 30 years, and we now have one of the world's largest pools of retirement savings because we literally force people to spend a large proportion of their income buying it. Now, I don't think that's a problem in and of itself. There's plenty of economic and psychological and political evidence to suggest that people probably aren't good at planning for the future, and kind of forcing them to put a bit aside away in the future is the sort of thing that, you know, kids don't like being forced to do their homework, but, you know, 30 years later they realise it wasn't the end of the world.
So it's like, you know, you have to eat your greens, otherwise you have to be big and strong when you're growing up.
That's right. So I think that, so I don't personally have a problem with forcing people to buy some superannuation, but I fear that the system that forces them to do that is not very well designed.
But before we get into those issues, let's have a look at how this system works. Australia's superannuation system as we know it was introduced in the 1980s. Before then, it was only within reach of those who could organise with their bosses to squirrel away their income for retirement. Everyone else mostly relied on the government's age pension when they retired. Here's Matt.
Originally, I think it was treated differently to encourage people to save for their retirement. So effectively, if more people rely on their own savings, their own superannuation in retirement, then the government has to spend less in pensions. So it makes fiscal sense for the government to encourage people to save. The problem is that a lot of people now, particularly high-income people, aren't using superannuation to fund a comfortable retirement. They're actually using superannuation to avoid a whole heap of tax. If you go to a tax planner, you know, pay somebody to give you tax advice, almost the first words out of their mouth will be superannuation. It is the best way to avoid tax.
To explain, there's compulsory superannuation payments. Those are the ones that your employer does for you. And that's currently set at 9.5% of your annual salary once you turn 18. And then there's voluntary payments, so you can put in a little bit extra. Now, high-income earners, those who take home more than $180,000 a year, are taxed at around 49 cents to the dollar. That tax would be lower if you put that money into a superannuation account instead.
If your marginal tax rate is 49 cents in the dollar at the top, you only pay 15 cents. So you get a huge tax concession, whereas somebody who's on, say, 19 cents or 21 cents, they're only getting a small tax concession. So that's firstly why high-income households get so much larger concession. It's also that they put a whole lot more money in, even over and above the 9.5%, because it's a good way of avoiding tax.
And over the years, there's been some other changes as well, especially under the former Howard government.
Over time, we've made it worse and worse. There used to be what were called reasonable benefit limits that limited how much you could put in to a reasonable level. We got rid of those. And, of course, Peter Costello came along at one point and said, look, if you're of retirement age and you're pulling money out of super, it's tax-free. Just entirely tax-free. There's no tax. So if I go to work and earn $80,000, I pay tax on it. If you've got $100 million in super and you're pulling out $10 million a year, you don't pay a cent. I mean, this is legal money laundering.
Now, remember, superannuation has been designed to ease the pressure on the age pension. And fair enough, we're all getting older. There's more members of the baby boomer generation who are leaving the workforce and retiring. And some would argue, what's the problem with rewarding people who are saving for their retirement? That's fair enough, isn't it? The problem is, though, that the cost of providing all those tax concessions for superannuation for people who aren't probably going to get the age pension in the first place is adding up.
They're losing at the moment about $30, $35 billion a year. And the vast majority of that goes to high income earners. So of that about $30 billion, about $18 billion goes to high income households, those in the top 20%. Superannuation tax concessions are actually one of the most rapidly growing parts of the budget. So that the government, in its first budget, was very concerned about pensions, which are growing at about 3 or 4% a year. They were very concerned with the effect that pensions were going to have on the budget in the long term. Superannuation tax concessions are going three times faster than that. They're growing at about 13% a year. They'll very shortly pass pensions. That is, they'll be costing the budget more than pensions.
Now, while the government isn't handing out all this money, it's basically forfeiting this extra revenue that can be used to pay for other things. And you would have heard economists voice concerns about the sustainability of the age pension. And it's something a lot of people are talking about. They're worried about this, and rightly so. But it's only recently that superannuation tax concessions have created headlines, and there's calls from Labor and the Greens to cut back. A recent report by the Productivity Commission's also raised a few concerns. All that extra money is pretty tempting, and the Coalition even got advice from Treasury about possible options in the lead-up to the 2015 federal budget. To Richard, there needs to be a few changes across the board.
So what our superannuation system does is it provides very generous tax concessions to full-time workers on high income, brackets mainly men, and it delivers almost nothing or even penalises low-income earners who work part-time, brackets, primarily women. I mean, it's inconceivable that someone could sit down and design a system that's allegedly designed to help people prepare for their retirement, where you provide most of the benefits to people that are best prepared for their retirement, and none of the benefits to the people who, for a range of reasons, are least prepared for their retirement.
And every $1 billion that goes into tax concessions is not being spent on hospitals, it's not being spent on education, or it's not being spent on tax cuts. So to say there isn't any cost, there is certainly a cost. It comes in the form of reduced services or for higher taxes in other areas.
Someone has to pay tax. Letting high-income superannuants pay no tax either means that people who are still working have to pay higher taxes, or we miss out on schools and hospitals, as Matt said. And giving the wealthiest people in the country a free lunch might be politically successful. It might be a great way to motivate people to vote for a political party, but it's inequitable, it's very expensive, and I'd suggest in the long run it's unsustainable.
And that's Follow the Money. You can follow me on Twitter at Redneck Ninja. Richard Dennis is at RDNS_TAI. Matt Grudnoff is at Matt Grudnoff, and the Australia Institute's Twitter handle is at The Oz Institute. For more information about this episode, you can also visit the website at tai.org.au. Thanks for listening. Talk to you soon.